Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins me by phone. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir. Two times in a day. Good to talk to you.
That's right. Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
So, obviously, yesterday we had a long press conference dealing with the changes at PPD, and then you and I and Jim Little and John Singley talked about some other stuff after that. We'll get to some of that in a minute. I do still have a few questions related to PPD, questions that I think people may have also. I've been spending the morning explaining why I think you basically told us everything you can tell us, and you told us enough for us to understand the decision. So I'm probably going to ask the questions that you can't answer, but I understand that in advance, okay? It's human nature to want more details because, I've been explaining there was really no feasible way for you to say, like, in January, hey, we're having trouble at PPD and, we're working on it. We're going to give it another 6 months. I mean, I get that. But I think a lot of people are kind of asking either out loud or in their heads, but what really was the problem? Was it just that the members of PPD just didn't get along with him? Was it performance? Was it some kind of particular thing? And I think the way this matters is, what can we look for to be better in the future at PPD? So I know it's hard for you to, it may not be possible for you to answer because of HR stuff, but is there any more you can tell us that you haven't already?
Yeah, well, let me back up and reiterate what you're saying. What it really comes down to is a full explanation that satisfies me and my ego and my rationale for everything in great detail. Is my priority my own ego or the media, or is my priority to do right by someone who's served this city? That's the decision. And so I've seen the same things you've seen. We were talking about name calling and corruption allegations all over Facebook last night. That something must be below board. Why don't we have all of this information? And so I think a big part of leadership is, no matter who is a department director in this city, that, and no matter how it goes, and if it goes great or it doesn't go as well as you'd hoped, at the end of the day, I have great respect for 850 people who work here. And if I've got to stand in it for a little longer because everybody's not getting every juicy detail they want about it, then so be it. That's just my leadership philosophy. I'm gonna stand up and try to do the best I can to do right by the people that who have or do work here. Yes, we did say, obviously there are set expectations across every department on employee engagement, on trust and confidence, and that's why it's important that we measure these things. As I said, we don't make decisions on one email, one anecdote, one person on the street stopping me saying, I like Andrew or I don't like Andrew. That's not how
they
we
always
operate,
say they like me
here. Exactly. That's why I knew it was a safe example. But nonetheless, we had set expectations, and you're absolutely right. It would be completely inappropriate of me to say, hey, we've got this thing tracking right now that we're concerned about in a press conference in the middle of the year. So I understand the human nature of wanting every detail. And listen, if any Columbos out there, I mean, there's lots of public record. You can do whatever you want. I mean, we're not hiding anything. You can look at whatever you want, anything that I'm referring to. But I don't have to necessarily try to undercut the dignity of someone who served the city because I owe the newspaper or the TV station this great detail.
Or the radio
that
station.
That would be
That's
easier
fine.
For me. Frankly, I mean, think about it. For me, to validate any action I take.
Right.
And especially when I have data to back it up. I mean, why wouldn't I do that? In other words, it's because I want to do right, and I do have great respect for Chief Randall. And so I want to share what has happened, but that does not mean that I'm here to rain on anybody's parade, and I can give this amount of information. Certainly nothing has happened below board. Chief Randall has done nothing below board. Neither have we. This is just something that didn't work out, and we're moving on. So that's where we're at.
Ask it a little different way, in a way that I think you can answer. What's your level of comfort with the idea that your leadership in City Hall, the people who are knowledgeable about all of this, and that the staff at PPD, that everybody who knows is satisfied, and that the people who do know what's going on are basically affirming this decision? What's your level of confidence in that?
I would say extremely high.
Okay.
And as I say, I am here and elected in this job to serve 55,000 people.
Right.
But the 800, I cannot do that. There's no physical, mental, philosophical way for me to do that without the 850 people who work here. And so that's why we did. Why did we do salary reform right when I got here? Because I can't be paying worse than four out of five cities. Out of five cities, that's paying, you know, fourth, 20th percentile when I got here. Because how can I hold anybody accountable if that's the scenario that we can't even fill jobs?
Right.
So that's why we have really tried to take an inside out philosophy in terms of, if we have our house in order, if we have our 850 in order, then we know we can do great things for the 55,000. If I don't, if half the jobs are open, people aren't being paid correctly, we have HR issues all over the place, we have loss of trust and confidence, any of those scenarios that across 18 city departments are happening, then how can I go to a press conference or see you on the street and say, we're doing our best to bring you operational excellence? So, you know, that's really where I'm at. Is at the end of the day, it's kind of an inside out philosophy, not because I'm saying that I don't owe anything to 55,000. I just know that the best recipe for success is if 850 show up ready to work, paid competitively, enjoying their job, then everything else, in my opinion, takes care of itself.
Yeah. And you know, look, I've said this before, but I'm never wanting to put the media, myself included, in front of the mission, whatever that mission is, and especially if it's a police mission, because, you know, I think that would be inappropriate as well. So, you know, making the Pensacola Police Department operate efficiently and well and successfully is, you know, I mean, that is your job number one, as you know. You know, if the TV and the paper and Andrew McKay get in their way of that, then, you know, put us last, because that's where we should be.
Right.
We'll come back to talking to DC Reeves in just a second. PJ's in for John Pickens this morning with Traffic on the Fives.
This report's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. There is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard at West Hope Drive, so use caution in that area. We did also have a listener say that's a five-car rear-end accident in that area in the right lane on 29 approaching I-10 West, just so you have a better idea of where that is. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mayor DC Reeves. I know we talked about this yesterday in the press conference, but the one thing in my mind that is you know, more of a concern at the moment is long-term plan. Obviously, and I had thought it was 6 months, so listeners corrected me. I misheard the sound clip that she's good through January of 2027, which does give you quite a lot more time than just 6 months. So if my questions yesterday were kind of rooted in that. But still, you know, that's not that long, but at least at this moment, your plan is, let's see where we're at. Let's give it some time. Let's assess. Let's see if Captain Chrisman is able to come back to the job. And then we can make a long-term decision about whether we go internally or go outside. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And we're really working both concurrently. I mean, we're going to obviously start inching down the road of what a search would look like, because sure, those things don't happen overnight, especially for something, a job of this magnitude. So, you know, we'll start having conversations on that, on kind of the what ifs, or, you know, relatively early. What I was really saying yesterday is, it's not like we're not posting this job on Monday. You know, I mean, why did we make a change? We make a change because we're trying to rebuild trust and confidence in the building. That should really be our priority. It should be my priority. Anything that I can do to facilitate that before we're just immediately jumping to some type of search. It's so highly likely that we will be doing that. But as I said, that is not priority one for me right now, and we're fortunate to have Chief Brown that has so much respect in that building, and you know, has really been successful at every level. And I think, again, you saw you know, all those officers in there weren't on the clock or on duty. Those
right.
are officers that were in that room because
yeah.
they had great respect for her and everything that she's done, and so do I. And I know that she'll help us kind of steady the ship, and that's why she's in it. And we'll see how that plays out. But I think the finite time is kind of helpful in this case, really. I mean, in terms of, you know, she's here long enough to certainly be able to make an impact and help turn things around. But
right.
But also, we can be looking at a long term plan as well. And I think that's kind of what we're going to do, is be doing both of these things concurrently.
I think a lot of people who've followed this for years will say, bro, we're in this position because we did an outside search. We should have just gone with the internal candidate to begin with. We wouldn't be here. Why would you even bother doing an outside search? And you're not saying you will do. You're saying that's the consideration and those are the things you have to factor, right?
No, I mean, again, I think
you?
I'm leaning towards some search. And again, listen, you know, I think we, at the end of the day, if there's no, I think in any traditional sense, that a captain, whether they leave on their own or they were fired, they resign, whatever the case may be. Yeah, obviously the next thing you do, what do you do next? You look at, okay, who's the chief deputy and how many years of service do they have? And, you know, all of that. And, obviously, you know, in Deputy Chief Christman's medical situation right now is uncertain. And so that really throws a little bit of a wrench into what a traditional, you know, plan would
internal,
be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, listen, I'm as pragmatic, maybe overly so sometimes in these scenarios. And in my mind, the good news is any internal candidate, anybody qualified as an internal candidate, as a captain, national search or not, they should win the job. I mean, so in other words, if we've got the best person in America to lead the police department, then that will show through during the process. So that's what's good is, and look, I think anybody in a police department, a fire department is going to have a leg up on any external candidate because of the fact that they, as she said yesterday, you know where the cobwebs are, you know, you do have respect in the building. So inherently there's going to be an advantage to an internal candidate, in my opinion. But that shouldn't mean that we should close both eyes and just pretend that there's no other available option. So your example, Andrew, I would say in summation, your example is, you know, I always rationalize it to football coaches. You know, if an offensive coach was in and it didn't work out, then you hire a defensive coach. I know that's the reaction to say, hey, here's this outside person. So clearly you should hire an inside person. There's no tracking data that says that naturally that means there's going to be an increased chance. I think what we have to just look at this reasonably and find out where we go. So that's why I said we got a lot to work through on that. And our focus right now is let's turn around morale in the department and see where we're at.
It's a totally different subject, but it's one that I think is a really interesting success story. We have been wrangling with trying to get these Portland loos, these outside, not super expensive, semi-permanent restrooms installed. And ECUA has come in useful. I saw on the agenda that there's an agreement with the university for the one that's going to be behind the old T.T. Wentworth Museum. But where are we at with getting these things in place?
Yeah, it's really a success story of collaboration for us. If you recall, we put one in at Bruce Beach. If you've been to Bruce Beach, that's a Portland loo, the bathroom there. And we put it in for about $70,000, I believe, something like that, give or take. It's a little bit of a complicated, you know, put it, but that's with concrete and plumbing, all that. Well, then we go to price putting two more in, and they were coming in at, you know, $160,000 a piece, nice. Almost the same price as a unit, and it was just unfeasible. So we were trying to think outside the box. We call Bruce Woody at ECUA and say, hey, listen, one of the big unknowns on both of these installations, both at the skate park and at Palo Fox Market at MLK Plaza, both complications is having to run water, you know, across streets and things like that, and especially as a private contractor, you know, all the unknowns that enter with that. What can we just partner and get the water there and basically and then let now we go back out to bid, assuming the water's already there. And that's what just happened. And so instead of getting one bid, we got four bids. And instead of $330,000, I believe the bid was around $140,000.
Oh,
so
great.
So for about $12,000 or $15,000 of partnership with ECUA, it saved us $200,000 on the other side. And so again, I'm very appreciative of Bruce and ECUA's board for taking that up. And I feel like this is the duty of government, not to just say, what's the easiest thing to do? Punch that box, pay the high price. Is that, you know, I think this is your government at work trying to say, that's not reasonable. How do we come up with a better solution? So that's $200,000 in taxpayer money that could be going somewhere else and not just into the same project.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take a cost savings that gets an end result that's better than we had imagined in the first place. We always like to end with a lightning round, quick questions for you. This is going to seem like a crazy question to you, most likely, as a former restaurateur, bar owner. But it's because my kids don't that I ask the question. Does it matter to you how fresh or hot your food is? Or do you just, you know, you eat it when you eat it. If it's cold, it doesn't really bother you.
Yeah, I guess I would say I have a cold skin. I mean, hot or reasonable, I can live with, you know, and anybody who's worked in hospitality knows it's like, man, you have the most sympathy for everybody in hospitality. So it is, I can't even remember the last time I've sent a dish back or something.
Right.
But no, it would need to be real cold, Andrew, for me.
Okay. All right. But do you care, like at home, if it's not super fresh, does that bother you at all?
No.
Okay.
I'm, I'm pretty medium temperature on that.
You've learned over the years probably to eat when it's cold anyway. So
exactly.
What video game, if I mean, you're kind of young, maybe this question doesn't apply to you. What video game have you spent the most money on or wasted the most time playing in your life?
Oh, that's easy. College football. I've had every version of it since it came out, and then the 10-year hiatus, and then
all right.
I don't even want to know how many hours I've done. People ask me why I haven't seen these famous movies. You know, I haven't seen The Godfather. I haven't seen Star Wars. I haven't seen. It's like, well, I was either watching football or playing football a video game. So that's how I spent my childhood.
Well, you know, there's opportunity cost in everything. Last one, is there an expression that you can't stand, that people use? The kind of thing that just makes you cringe either inside or externally when they say it?
Yes, there is, but I can't think of one right now. I have to hear it in conversation. What was yours?
Oh, I don't like the great minds think alike, particularly because I think mediocre and poor minds also think alike, and so it doesn't really prove anything if you agree with somebody. I'm just saying is actually the one that grinds me the most because it's so arrogant and contemptuous, but...
I've morphed into a politician, and I'll say something that one of my employees say or something, and then they'll think I'm thinking about them. So, I'll say that I accept mottos and cliches of all times.
You are an inclusive cliche acceptor.
Yeah.
That's so funny. They'll make, and that's so true. If you said one, and then like Jim in Public Works, like, oh, he singled me out on the radio when you didn't intend that at all. Mayor DC Reeves, look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.